Well, guys, we've been starting off this meeting with sort of our overall impression and take on the team. I got to tell you, I'm more upset than discouraged after that game. They are going to go in next week and blow out the Bills.
Yeah, I don't know how anybody can be discouraged right now. The discouraging week was last week when you lost at home to the Cardinals team that you probably should have beat. This was a losable game. I'm guessing everybody, when they did the little win-loss in April when the schedule came out, said that you could lose this game, and you very easily could have won it. You had the game under your control late in the game in a tough environment on the road. Yeah, it's disappointing, but I don't see any reason why you'd think this means anything moving forward.
And I'm with Fred in terms of the anger, because to me it was really a lost opportunity. They had the game won. They had two score leads in the first half and in the second half. Late in the fourth quarter, that game really should be over. And the stuff that we're going to get into, you know, with the officiating only adds to that frustration.
Well, yeah, fishing it aside, we had two balls that were in McCourty's hand. Arrington falls down with a missed opportunity for an interception. You know, and then at the end of the game with a 9-point lead, they just couldn't put it away. And I know a lot of people were talking about that, you know, the Patriots at the end of game and not really being able to, you know, seal the deal. Is there anything to that?
I think that's how it is. I think we had a false sense of reality early in the decade. You know, in that championship era, yes, they always won the games at the end. That's not the way it works. When you face good teams...
For the Patriots or overall in the league?
No, overall, that's not the way it works. The Patriots gave you a false sense of confidence in those situations. Yes, Brady and Belichick are the greatest of all time at what they do. But when you face a good team, and we're now seeing this Ravens-Patriots rivalry is a rivalry. It's going to come down to the last couple plays, to a field goal, to a play here, play there. That's the reality. You lose some, you win some. You won the important one last year. You went to a Super Bowl because of it. You lost this one.
Yeah, now I disagree with Andy a little bit in terms of, and I understand what his point is, how great those teams were. And I think, you know, as time goes by, I think you have a greater appreciation for how good the 03 and 04 teams were. But I really think that you're up 9 with the ball, and, you know, what, early in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's the thing people aren't talking about. There were two possessions that they had, you know, one more score or even a sustained drive ends the game. Those are the kinds of situations that I think this Patriots offense is too good to be stopped in. You know, they move the ball really all throughout the game, and in the fourth quarter they couldn't move it. And that has become a trend a little bit over the last year and a half, 2 years, where they have situations to end games on offense, and they're very sporadic in doing it. I'm not saying they never do, but I expect a little bit more when Tom Brady and the offense have the ball. And even though they scored 30 points, I think they bear a lot of the responsibility.
I'm going to sound like a broken record, but I am still concerned about that offensive line. They're not settled yet. They had to use Gronkowski too much in protection. And because of that, and, you know, of course, with Aaron Hernandez out, that took away a lot from the offense. Why I'm really encouraged is because they still scored 30 points regardless, but they need to get Gronkowski more into the offense, and they can't do that until Brady trusts the guy in front of them.
Well, you kind of have what you have. I know we got a lot of emails this week. Maybe Ryan Wendell needs to be. Who are you replacing him with? And some people, okay, move Conley to center. Well, okay, who's playing right guard now? And, you know, maybe it's Marcus Cannon. Well, what happened?
Ryan Waters?
He's not walking through the door, so forget that. Don't dredge that up.
Right.
So I think this is kind of the group you have. It's good to see Vollmer now playing. He's out there. He's ready to play every snap. Now it's time for Dante to kind of work that midseason cohesion where you say, okay, he's got the five he's going to work with. Now let's make them better.
And to sort of go on the other side of the point that I was making and look more at Andy's side, I do think it's a work in progress in terms of being able to run the ball a little bit more effectively in those situations. You know, you guys talked about the offensive line. I think it will get better. I think that the more that they're able to rely on Stephen Ridley in the offensive line to close games out, the more comfortable they'll be. Clearly, they weren't comfortable doing that. The other night, they had 6 carries for 3 yards in the fourth quarter, and that's not going to get
good. On the other side of the ball, was this a step back for the defense?
I don't think so. I think it was a step into reality. You know, we kind of talked about the limited offenses that they'd held in check through 2 weeks. Well, now you got a real test. We knew this was a challenge. We knew this was an offense that had quarterback, 2 receivers, 2 tight ends, a running back.
It wasn't a matter of just stopping one thing.
Right, and that offense kind of lived up to its resume. They came out, they threw for almost 400 yards. Ray Rice ran for 100 yards. They did everything in spurts that they're good at. So, yeah, it's bad. You'd like to be able to stop that, be better at that. But you're a young defense that's building confidence, and you won't face a test like this again for maybe till Houston in December. So now you have a few more weeks to beat up on the Bills or beat up on other teams and get back to where you were.
I like that, Freddie. Not a step back, a step to reality.
Yeah. Well, I think it was.
I mean, one thing, looking at this game, I know the Patriots are better against the run than they show. I think the problem was that they were just playing a little bit too conservative because, like you said, they didn't just have to worry about Ray Rice. They had to worry about Flacco and his receivers and the tight end. So, you know, they were playing a little bit maybe too conservative. I think once they get a little bit, you know, more in tune on defensively, you'll see a different Patriots defense against the balanced type of offense like that, where they'll take a little bit more chance.
Well, we'll see if that ends up happening, but I'm kind of with Andy right now. Generally, over the last couple of years, and now this season as well, when you've seen an offense that can do a little bit of everything,
right,
they've struggled. So I'm not convinced that you'll see a much better, you know, performance against the balanced offense 3 weeks from now than you did, you know, on Saturday night.
But again, struggling was up by 9 in the fourth quarter against a team who you just beat to go to the Super Bowl last year,
yeah,
who you could face again this January to go to a Super Bowl. I mean, they're in the mix with the best teams in the conference and probably the best teams in football right now. Are they far and away the best? No, but they're in the competitive mix of the elite.
And that's why it's frustration, because you were right there. You had the game, and it's nothing to sit there and say, wow, you know, they're 1-2. Are they going to be a playoff team when all is said and done? No. You're frustrated because you know how good you are and can be, and they let one slip away. And sometimes, you know, you lose a game that you shouldn't lose, and that helped you. I think that's what you feel like is going to happen. We'll see.
And
you know,
they had a little help from the refs. Well, the Ravens did.
No doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought the officiating in that game was as bad as you could get.
It was bad on both sides.
You can take out the in that game part. Let's just say officiating is as bad
as
you can
get.
We'll get to that.
I know I'm, you know, the official homer. You can tell by my sneakers. But, you know, I will say
I can't believe you just pointed those out.
While the refs were bad on both sides, I do think there were more game affecting calls against the Patriots and the Ravens. And not because it was any conspiracy. I just think that's the way it felt.
There was a very bad call on Devin McCourty. I will give you that. That one was a horrendous call. But a lot of the other calls, I think calls went both ways. These guys are over their heads. That's
the
bottom line.
They are.
But
they can't even call field goals.
You bring up the field goal.
Unless
and
maybe they made the right call. Because no one knows.
It was wrong. If
the field goal was no good, and by the way, I'm not convinced Freddie is wrong. It may have been no good. I don't know. I have no idea. But if it was no good.
YouTube doesn't lie.
The Baltimore version of this show
right.
is talking about the officials. One of my major concerns heading into the season for the offense was the offensive line and its ability to keep Tom Brady in one piece. And while the pass protection really has been pretty good so far, they had a hiccup against Arizona, but I thought much better in Baltimore. There has been one residual effect from this, and that's Rob Gronkowski. He is one of the most dangerous receivers in the league, and the Patriots really haven't been able to take advantage of that all that often over the first 3 weeks. Just 14 catches, and that's because basically he's been another tackle. He's been outstanding in helping out Nate Solder and Sebastian Vollmer, but it's taken a big weapon away from Tom Brady. Sticking with the offense, we got our first look at what things would be like without Aaron Hernandez, and so far what you've seen is instead of a lot of two tight ends, two wideouts, it's been the opposite. It's been one tight end with three wideouts. That was the case Sunday night in Baltimore. I think it's an interesting look and something to keep an eye on. We'll see if Kellen Winslow can become a bigger part of the offense and maybe join Rob Gronkowski and go back to that 12 personnel that we've heard so much about with the two tight ends, two receivers, and one running back. I think that's what Josh McDaniels would prefer, but right now, out of necessity, it was a lot of Welker, Edelman with Brandon Lloyd, and that can't continue. On defense, there's one thing that's really stuck out over the first 3 weeks, and that's the inability to get after the quarterback. After some positive signs in the opener, we saw Chandler Jones come in with a big strip sack, cause the fumble, and a touchdown. We really haven't seen much since. They really didn't get after Kevin Cobb, and they had nothing on Joe Flacco on Sunday night, and that's a big problem. If you allow quarterbacks to get in a rhythm and stand around and pick out their targets, they're going to take advantage of a secondary that, quite frankly, is not ready to do this. I think the Patriots need to dial up some pressure. They have to help the front four. They got to get after it a little bit. Dante Hightower, Jerod Mayo, Brandon Spikes, let these guys loose, get after the quarterback a little, and Bill Belichick has to dial up some blitzes.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
We just have to prepare for all of them, and you know, we'll be ready when the game comes.
New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, the nation's fastest mobile broadband network. Putnam Investments celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Drink responsibly.
It was hard to find an image of the week without a yellow flag in it, but I managed. This first one is Logan Mankins clearing the way for Brandon Bolden's first NFL touchdown. Next, we have the big hit that Ed Reed laid on Julian Edelman. That should have been flagged. It wasn't. And finally, here's one that got away. Everything about the refs aside, the Patriots had chances to win this game, and here's one with Devin McCourty having an interception in his hands.
Player Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments.
Joined now by Patriots safety Steve Gregory. Steve, coming off two losses, heading to Buffalo this week. What's the mindset of the team and as a defense?
Just to go back to work, get ready for this game, learn from the things that happened to us in the past, and just go back to work and get better. And that's what we're focused on today. Obviously get the game plan in, focus on Buffalo, and focus on getting better.
As you transition from the Ravens to the Bills, are there things you can learn? Because it seems like both teams kind of have a good running back, good receiver, good quarterback, spread the ball around. Mm-hmm. Is there something you can build on coming out of that loss and into the next week here?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we want to go out and get a win, that's first of all. So that'll help us build, is to put a good week together, get out here and work hard, and try to put together a week and a game where we can get a win. In the end, it's all that win-loss column.
As a safety, you're obviously involved in the passing game, the running game. What does it do when you prepare for a team and you're not really sure who the running back's going to be? They've all been successful this year. I think they're third in the NFL in rushing, and they have guys that can make plays out of the backfield. How do you prepare for so many different running backs?
Well, you just have to be ready for all of them. All those guys present, a challenge. They all can run the ball. They're all good at catching the ball. They all have their own set of skills that they can do. So we just have to prepare for all of them. And, we'll be ready when the game comes.
And do you think that this team has good confidence right now, is questioning itself? I mean, where's the confidence level of this team? It's not used to losing.
Right, yeah, the confidence is high. We lost a couple tough ones, but by no means are we, down in the slums. I mean, we're confident, we're high, we're ready to go to work today, get back to work, get better, and go out and get a win.
As a secondary, you guys, kind of getting used to playing with each other, some different faces in here. I guess at all three levels of the defense, new faces in here. How is that going, just getting used to playing each other now a month into the season?
It's going great. I mean, it's building. Obviously every week we build, we get to know each other a little bit more. And, that's the growing process. Anytime you're around new guys, we've only played three games together, in preseason too, but, three full regular season games together. So it's always a building process, and that's what we're working on, and, it's going well so far.
As you prepare for a guy like Fitzpatrick, what are the challenges he presents? I know they do a lot of timing things. What do you have to prepare for with him?
Well, he's a real smart guy. He's mobile. He can move around the pocket, make guys miss, and then get the ball downfield. So, he's a smart quarterback. He throws the ball well, and he creates problems by moving around and things like that. So, we just have to be ready to be on our A game and go out and play a good, solid football game.
All the positive momentum the Patriots defense had built up through 2 weeks was lost in Baltimore. It started up front. Vince Wilfork, Kyle Love and company didn't get the job done against Ray Rice. 100 yards, 5 yards a carry. They need to bounce back this week in a big way against a Bills team that's third in the NFL in rushing. It may be Fred Jackson, it may be Tashard Choice, but the Bills want to run the football with whoever's back there. Wilfork and company need to prove they can stop it. Patriots' run defense wasn't the only part of the unit that lost some momentum in Baltimore. The pass rush was non-existent against Joe Flacco. Zero sacks, barely even got near him to lay a finger on him. That needs to change this week, but it won't be easy. Ryan Fitzpatrick has only been sacked once in three games so far. So Chandler Jones, Rob Ninkovich, you guys may have to earn your money, but you need to make it work this week because for the back end to succeed, the front end needs some pressure. It's the Buffalo Bills alliteration, so we'll stick with it. Bounce back is the theme of the week for the Patriots. When was the last time the Patriots lost three games in a row? I'll tell you, it was 2002. Can't let it happen again. They've been changing things. When was the last time they were below 500? Well, we found that. That's this week. We can't go back to the days when this team lost more games than it won. It starts in Buffalo. Beat up on the Bills. They are not that good. Exert your dominance. Blowout.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
I don't have a great appreciation for the real guys because they're not good either.
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Around the NFL.
So I'm here to tell you, last week I was wrong. Yeah, it happens every once in a while. I said that 2 weeks were enough to make final determinations, but no, not 2 weeks. 3 weeks. Yep, that's the number. 3 weeks. Not the San Francisco 49ers. The Houston Texans are the best team in football. They can do it all. They have balance on offense. They can throw it. They can run it. Arian Foster with Schaub and Andre Johnson. And on defense, they can get after the passer. They can tackle. They shut you down. Wade Phillips 3-4 is a swarming defense. The Houston Texans, not the San Francisco 49ers. Right now, that's your best team in football.
The Patriots Football Weekly cover words pretty much say it all from around the NFL this weekend. But beyond that, within the AFC East, I know the Patriots lost on the field, but they won a little bit off the field. Big injuries abound within the division. New England's already dealing with Aaron Hernandez, but a much bigger injury in New York, Darrelle Revis, ACL, out for the year. Huge blow to that team, huge blow to that defense. They will have to do everything differently on defense moving forward. The team the Patriots face this week, the Bills, lost C.J. Spiller, big playback, averaging 10 yards a carry almost to start the season. They won't have to deal with that. Down in Miami, Reggie Bush is already limping around. He is the focal point of that Dolphins offense. Not a long-term injury, but never a good thing to be banged up this early in the season. Battle of attrition in the AFC East, and that battle's starting early.
Trash Talk. Brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter. Dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
The replacement officials have certainly been under the gun. Do these guys give you a greater appreciation for the real thing?
There are literally people all around the world who now appreciate the regular NFL officials more, because as much as they made mistakes in the past, and there were glaring examples every season, a mistake here, a mistake there, through 3 weeks we have seen limitless mistakes. They can't control the game. The games are longer. We have games that are ending with the incorrect winner. We have games where they're just giving away yardage. We have games where they're taking a minute off the clock. What is this, soccer, when no one knows where the game actually ends? Ridiculousness. It's been a circus for 3 weeks. Anyone who doesn't see that is blind.
It has, and I do see it.
I win.
I'm not blind. I'm not an idiot or any other name that you're going to call me in the next, 2 minutes or so. But my point is the refereeing has been atrocious. It, to me, it's always atrocious. The only difference is the attention that it's getting right now, for good reason. They're replacements, it's low-hanging fruit, and they're going to criticize everyone. The one exception to this rule I'm going to go with is the Monday night game, the final play. I cannot recall a situation where they just blew a call on a touchdown to end a game like that with the regular guys.
But so you're okay with extra timeouts, with a 59-minute game?
I've seen
with
all
them
that stuff.
Misplacing the ball
I've
on 144 to the other 44?
I've seen it all. And by the way, the misplacing of the ball, there's real NFL officials upstairs that are supposed to prevent that from happening.
But it doesn't happen.
Right.
It doesn't happen.
Why? They're
when the real
guys.
Officials are there, it doesn't happen.
They're not replacement consultants.
Once a year, maybe there is an error that glaring where a game goes 59 minutes. Or
It's spiraling out of control.
Literally, it's happened dozens of times every week for the past 3 weeks. Anyone who can't see that is just ridiculously stubborn and stuck in their ways and likes ripping the old officials as much as they like ripping the new ones. I'm talking about you. Exactly. You're admitting you're stubborn and stuck in your ways. Because anyone who doesn't see the loss of control in this game and the loss of the ability to make the correct call is blind.
And anyone who doesn't see the overreaction to every single play,
there's no doubt there's overreaction.
Blind.
No doubt.
That's what I'm talking about. That's why
but
it's worldwide
you're
news.
You're fixating on
because
the overreaction,
officials.
And you're allowing that to persuade your views that they're not really making as many mistakes. Oh, they're lumping these all together.
You're putting
words
in my mouth.
No, it's ridiculousness.
I think it's been a train wreck. These guys are terrible. They're making a lot of terrible
calls. So the old guys
are
a train wreck, too?
Yes.
Oh, you're out of your mind. You're just being stubborn now.
Just because they don't make as many bad calls.
There's no way for me to win this argument with a person who's a lunatic.
No. Well, listen, you can call all the names you want.
If that legit, if you think the regular officials.
On a weekly basis, we sit here.
No.
Fred Kirsch sits here and blames the officials every time the Patriots lose.
For a 59-minute game?
Now you can blame the officials because they're replacement officials, too.
So that happens all the time.
I'm saying bad
calls.
Because
that's all happened within 3 weeks.
Bad calls happen all the time.
No, we're not talking about a bad hold or a bad pass interference. The call against Devin McCourty happens every week. But a 59-minute game does not happen every week.
They mistimed a game, so that's the tipping point. Yeah, you're right. I've seen extra timeouts granted. I've seen challenges.
How often does
absolutely.
The extra timeouts
I've
thing
seen,
happen?
I've
how
seen
often?
Challenges granted when teams haven't had them.
Just how often? Just
I don't
give me
know
a
how often. It's happened once this year, though.
Yeah, in 3 games. And you're comparing
no,
it to, like,
weeks,
30 years of history.
That's 3 weeks, not 3 games.
3 weeks. Excuse me, I misspoke.
So if it doesn't happen again the rest of the year, does that make it not as big a deal? No,
yes,
it's a big deal.
But it's happening
because the guys
every
are
week.
Incompetent.
It's
the officials are incompetent.
Exactly. You're making my point.
All the
Thank
time.
You. No.
No.
See, now you're just
I
being ridiculous.
I am not
ridiculous.
Defending these guys. These guys are terrible.
No, you're saying there's
and
no
in over
change.
Their head.
And anyone
they
who thinks
worse.
There's no difference.
They are worse. You're not listening. They are worse
no,
than
you
the
said
regulars.
You have
I
no
don't have
appreciation.
A greater appreciation for the real guys because they're not good either.
They're better than these guys, but they're not
so good. That doesn't make you appreciate them being better.
And the league
you don't appreciate them being
because
better.
The league
so you don't appreciate them being better because you just admitted these guys are worse.
No problems at all. Nothing to see here. It was the right call.
Okay, so now you change
game.
The argument.
The whole
Let's
thing,
just fixate
it's a
on do you appreciate
Andy.
The guys who are better?
The whole
better?
Thing is a train
do you
wreck.
Appreciate?
No, I have no further appreciation. Okay. They're bad. These guys are worse.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you by Yokohama. Yokohama, technology drives better tires.
All right, it's time to take the questions that you sent to askpfw@patriots.com. So let's get right to it. Ted writes in, and he says, is there any reason to keep Rob Ninkovich as a starter? Why not let Hightower loose or bring back Andre Carter?
Wow. Well, first of all, I think that Hightower is already a starter. So you could possibly change positions there and have Ninkovich play linebacker, maybe move Hightower to an edge position, have him be with his hand down. I'm not ready to pull the plug and make wholesale changes just yet either. I don't think Ninkovich has been off to a great start in terms of rushing the passer. I don't think that's necessarily his strong forte, but I don't want to just blow it all up. I still think that he is a good football player who's capable of playing on every down. I know that Andy is a little bit in disagreement with me on that, but I feel like he can get the job done. Dante Hightower is learning a new defense. Let's, give him one thing to do, play linebacker. If down the road we think he can do some more things, fine. Right now, he's a linebacker.
Okay. Paul, you've got patience. Doesn't sound like our next emailer does. Josh Montgomery wants to know, how many losses does it take before we should be in panic mode?
I'm going to say 8 or 9. Yeah, I think this team is still going to win the division. And I think the way you look at the mediocrity or competition in the league this year, you're going to have teams making the playoffs at 8-8, 9-7. That said, we're nowhere near panic mode. I mean, you lost on the road in a rematch of last year's AFC title game at the very end of the game. You were competitive in a tough environment on the road. You're not going to see a challenge like that till maybe December again. So let's pump the panic brakes and just relax for a minute.
Okay. Finally, Terry Miller writes in. He says, why is Andy Hart on the TV show? This guy is a jerk. Get rid of him.
Well, I don't know if Terry has watched a lot of TV, but jerks succeed in TV. Look at this network and Michael Felger. Jerks win. Trying to make money.
Wow. Well, I guess case in point. All right. Well, that's it for the questions this week. Again, send them every week to askpfw@patriots.com.